Welcome to the Love Yourself Healthy podcast. I am Melanie Lillis. I'm an eating psychology coach, nutritional therapist, and I have my Bachelor of Physical and Health Education. Throughout this podcast, we are going to be diving into the realm of eating psychology, body image, self-love, and creating a healthy and happy mind. I cannot wait to share my knowledge with you in hope that it's going to positively influence your life. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I am going to be doing a Q&A episode for you today. So I got you guys on my Instagram there, xbrave, to send through some questions that you wanted me to answer. And I've picked some really, really good questions to go through. So before I get into it, I'll run through all the questions I'm going to go through so you know what to look out for. So the first question that I got is, let me pull it up. If there is a way to lose weight, why do you still think it is so hard for people? That's question number one. The second question I am going to go through are my favorite YouTube or Instagram profiles. The next one is best sleep routines. Next one is how to heal your relationship with food if you are an athlete. And the second last one is what rituals I recommend to cultivate body love. And the last question is how to deal with setbacks and my tips for getting back on track. So I thought these were some really good and some fun questions to go through. So hopefully you enjoy them. But before we get into it, I'm going to do my listener review. And my listener is Jack, and she said, thank you for being so raw, so real, and so earthed. Your podcast is a tool which is helping me to view food in a healthier way and knowing you will get through these dark times. I could listen to you all day. You have so much knowledge and wisdom, and I can't thank you enough. You are a breath of fresh air, I think she meant to write, and I only literally just realized that it was written backwards, and I love that even more. So thank you so much, Jack. That is so lovely. I feel really happy to be able to help you, as I do for everyone who kind of, reaches out to me and tells me that. I'm still absolutely blown away. So if you want me to share your listener review, please either send me a review on my podcast app now, or you can just send me a message on my Instagram. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to tackle the first question, which was, if there is a way to lose weight, why do you think it is so hard for people? Now, what a great question. I thought this was a really, really interesting question, and I wish I had a really super simple answer for this question, but unfortunately, when it does come to weight loss, there are so many layers and different factors that come into play. So I don't know, maybe in short, that is the answer. It's like, it's so hard for people because there's not this cookie cutter straight road approach. It is so diverse and it does have so many layers involved, which is why it's so hard for people. But I do want to go through, obviously, my top reasons why I believe it's so hard for people. And I honestly think that education is key, right? The more knowledge we can have around either how the body works, how food and exercise impacts the body, the more that we can understand where to start. Now, in saying that, I feel like this is where the issues come into play. I would say so much of it comes down to having way too much conflicting information out there. One person will tell you to cut out carbs. The next person will tell you to cut out fat. Then the person beside you will tell you to try the keto diet, then the paleo diet, then, I don't know, become a fruitarian, try the soup diet, sell your left kidney. Like, how do you even know where to begin with so much information? Like, we have drifted so far away from our natural being that most people don't actually know how to eat. And when it comes to weight and like being overweight, our bodies don't want to be overweight. It's not something that they are comfortable with. And every single person has a natural body weight, which can be so different from one person to the next, of course. But it wants to be at that natural weight. And there are so many different factors that are getting in someone's way of weight loss. So I want to first talk about our food sources. Let's just think about that for a second. As I said before, we don't know how to eat. And this is because there are so many options nowadays for different food types, and the majority of them are so processed. Like, even take the fitness industry, for example. You've got protein bars, protein cookies, protein chips, protein balls, protein drinks, protein water. Like, every single one of these items are processed, but they're marketed to people in the fitness world as being a really good alternative. And if you don't know much about either how to read food labels or how processed foods impact your body, how they're digested and everything like that, you're going to join the gym, you'll start working out, you'll see these bars everywhere and you'll start eating them thinking that like, oh wow, these are a super healthy food source for me, when in reality, it's full of processed crap. Like, it's not healthy, but how are you supposed to know that? It's a fitness marketing ploy that you would think is supposed to be a really good alternative. But our diets are so heavily processed nowadays that our bodies don't even understand what's going on. We've moved so far away from the natural food world, and then we wonder why we have so many health issues and why we struggle so much. Our bodies want nutrients. They want a diversity of fresh, natural, organic plants. They want whole foods that's going to support a healthy and a thriving body. So if you are someone who does struggle to lose weight, I would definitely recommend assessing your food supply. Like, try to get back to basics. Steer clear of processed foods and don't fall for marketing ploys. My boyfriend is the worst for falling for protein. Like, anything that said that's got high protein in it, he's like, oh, I need to have this. I need to have this. Such a, without being gender stereotyping, such a male thing to just want so much protein for muscle. Don't fall for that. Assess your diet and think, how much of my diet is actually natural food? How much of it am I buying that's organic? Because some of the quality and the nutrient density, the mineral density of the food can be affected if it's not organic. So not saying you have to go out and eat organic 100% of the time, but it does make a difference if you can afford it, of course. So another area that I think is really important when it comes to weight loss is the type of life that you live. Do you have a stressful job or a stressful life? Do you work really long hours in the day? Do you get sunlight at all throughout your day? Do you exercise regularly? Do you get out in nature? Do you have a good balance when it comes to things like work or fun or relationships or money? Are you someone who suffers from anxiety or depression? What's your gut health like? Do you have really poor gut health? Are you constantly moody? Do you suffer from low energy? All of these areas play such a big part in the way that our body functions. Like, stress and hormone imbalances are not something that you want to push to the side. If you do struggle with weight loss and you believe you're doing everything you can to lose weight, you've decreased your calorie intake, you've upped your exercise, all of that, then reducing your stress and going and getting maybe your hormones looked at, they are some really, really great places to start looking at. So many people believe that weight loss purely comes down to calories in versus calories out. And I do not want to say that that is not an important factor. 100% I know calories in versus calories out is important. You need to be expending more energy than you're consuming. But this is not the be all or end all. I've spoken about this before. When I had my eating disorder, I was in a calorie deficit. I was overtraining and I wasn't eating very much food. And if I did eat much food, I would purge it out. I would self-induce vomit. Now, eventually, I started to put on weight. So if I put this on paper, you would think, yeah, you should be losing weight. Like, there's no way that you can put on weight. But it came down to the fact that my body was under so much stress that it triggered the survival response within my body. So just keep that in mind when it comes to losing weight. Yes, calories in versus calories out is important, but we need balance. Weight loss is about balance in so many areas. It's about playing around with those calories, focusing on exercising, but in a way that's not overdoing it or overtraining the body. And it's really important to mix up your exercise routine and not just do the same thing every single day. Yeah, it's about stress reduction and implementing self-care strategies that help to put your body in that relaxation response and feel better about yourself as well. And there is a focus on balancing out those hormones, improving your gut health. Like, if you suffer from maybe breakouts, dry hair, really dry skin. As I said before, if your gut health is really bad, you might want to go and see a naturopath and try to figure out what's going on there. There might be a hormone imbalance. So to summarize this question, I think it's so hard for people to lose weight because they're not focusing on the whole picture. they are more than likely focusing on how many calories they're consuming and how much exercise they are doing, which is not the only case. Now, I did a podcast on weight loss the other week, so if you want to go listen to it, I go into way more detail. So head over to episode 39. It's called How to Achieve Weight Loss Whilst Maintaining a Healthy Relationship with Food. That goes through this in a lot more detail. But yeah, I think, as I said, as a whole, there's so many different factors that come into play. It's not just a cookie cutter approach. And if it was, everyone would lose weight and everyone would not have issues with food. So the fact that there are so many people that still struggle, there's a big sign that there is so much more going on. So don't fall for, I'm going to put personal trainers in a bubble here, and I know that this is not the case, so don't come at me. But I think personal trainers can heavily focus just on the calories and how much exercise. So please don't get fooled by that. Please do your research and look into the balance of all areas. Love PTs. I'm not saying they all do that, by the way. Just anyway, moving on. The next question that I had is my favorite YouTubers or YouTube channels and Instagram profiles. Now, I'm going to talk about YouTube first. I don't really use YouTube as an educational tool very often. Sometimes I will. There is a YouTube, oh gosh, how it's going to go out of my head. There's a YouTube channel I watched the other day. It was like short courses. I don't know what it was called, but I watched it on the stress response just because I love learning about it and it was amazing. But I can't remember what it's called, so this is irrelevant. But what I mean to say is I use YouTube more for entertainment. So I watch YouTubers like Sarah's Day, Arielle Vandenberg, Valeria Lipovetsky. I love watching Morgan Rose Moroni. She's an amazing handstander. And I spend way too much time watching YouTube videos on singers, like as in The Voice, America's Got Talent, all of that kind of stuff. I love singing videos. Like, I don't know why, I just absolutely love them. So yeah, I very rarely go on YouTube for education. I think that it is amazing. And I actually, if you don't know, I started my own YouTube channel. Yeah, it's just under Bear X Brave. And I uploaded a YouTube the other day on my eating disorder story. And then I've uploaded one recently on my top tips for binge eaters. So if you want to go and watch that, I'll leave the YouTube links down below. Hopefully I'm going to do some more videos on there as well, which is really exciting. But yeah, I don't really use YouTube for educational tools. I do like Jay Shetty. I think his stuff is amazing, but I don't really watch him, to be honest. Now, when it comes to Instagram, I really try to follow people that inspire me. Back in the day, I don't know why, but I used to follow all of the models. Like, I was always following models, anyone who I thought was good looking, for no reason. I didn't even know why. I just followed them. I have no reasoning for doing so. And I realized how bad it made me feel and how every time I went on Instagram, you know, you'd start to compare, which everyone does. And I would always leave Instagram feeling really shitty about myself. And I decided, why am I doing this? Let's just unfollow these people. Like, what purpose are they bringing into your life? How are they making your life better? And I started doing that with everyone who would pop up on my feed. So, you know, when you go on Instagram and you scroll through and it only shows you certain people, right? So I wasn't going to sit there and go through everyone I was following and start culling them. It takes a lot of time. So what I just started to do was every time I'd go through my Instagram feed, anyone who came up that I was like, do I really need to follow this person? I'd go onto their profile and look at their photos and think, how are they going to improve my life and how are they going to impact me in a positive way? And if they couldn't impact me in a positive way, I would just delete them. And every time I went on Instagram, I just started to do that. So that now when I go on Instagram, I feel inspired. It's surrounded just by people I either know personally or by people who inspire me or brands who inspire me. So some of the pages that I really like to follow, one's called Positive Headspace. The Daily Grin is really good. The Gut Health MD, oh, my favorite person. He is a really, really intelligent gastroenterologist who knows how to take really complex science and make it really easy to understand. So definitely go follow the Gut Health MD. The Plant Proof dude, Simon Hill, I think it's just Plant Proof on Instagram. He is amazing. Who else? My Self Love Supply. I love following them. That's a really great brand. They just have like really great positive quotes. I even actually like following people like Gary Vee. And I say it in that tone because I don't usually relate much to high profile males, and just because they have a very masculine approach to the way they say things. They're very direct and it's just not my personality. But I find him really inspiring in a like, just go and get shit done kind of way. There's no sugarcoating around it. And I kind of like that. So I do like following Gary Vee as well. I thought I'd chuck in my podcast in this question because although YouTube and Instagram are great, I think I spend majority of my time listening to podcasts. And my favorite podcasts are the Plant Proof podcast, the Highest Self podcast, the Health Code is a good one. It's just really relatable and fun. The Radically Loved podcast, I love that one. Psychology of Eating podcast, that's who I did my studies through. They have a really great podcast and they do client calls, like where Mark David will record one of the calls with his clients and go through their real life struggles and how he would approach improving that, which is really cool. Another podcast, The Kick Pod. I really love The Kick Pod. And the Brain Health and Beyond podcast is great as well. So they're my favorite kind of people to follow. It's actually funny, even though I'm on kind of social media a lot, when I go onto my Instagram page, Bear Brave, I post something, I might upload an Instagram story, I'll write back to clients or to people who have contacted me, and then I usually get off it. I have spent way less time lately scrolling through Instagram, mainly because I'm usually on YouTube watching singing videos, but I'm trying my hardest to spend my time wisely. And yeah, like I don't want to waste my time with unnecessary things, which I still, you know, we still do, but I'm trying my hardest to not do that as much. All right, let's move on to the next question, which is best sleep routines. I love this one because I'm all about routines, morning routines, night routines. It's all the best. Okay, when it comes to sleep, once you've had your dinner, you've done all that stuff, like you're winding down, getting ready for bed, always either have like, if you have a bath, go and have a relaxing bath or a calming shower. And what I mean by that is either put some soothing music on, something that's like really chill, almost like puts you in like a trance light state. Light some candles if you have them. What else can you do? Dim the lights. Like I love to have, I don't have a bath in my new apartment, which sucks. Like I used to love having baths in my old apartment, but anyway, but I always like turn the lights off and just have like a couple of candles going so that it really kind of sets the mood. I put on some nice music. When I used to have baths, I would do a guided meditation, but now I just have some nice music happening. And yeah, I have my shower and I just take some really slow, deep breaths and almost like check in with myself. Like when I'm breathing, I just kind of go down my body and think, what's feeling good? What's not feeling good? You know, is anything sore? Like just asking those questions just to like connect with yourself. I think we can go through our day not even tuning in with our body at all. And when we do that, it's actually really empowering. And it makes you feel really good about yourself. So yeah, just take some really nice deep breaths to calm down that nervous system and to almost tell your body, hey, we're actually getting ready for bed, so we need to chill. So yeah, once I've had my shower, I always moisturize. Now when I moisturize at nighttime, usually not so much in the morning, but at nighttime, I almost do like a self massage. I'm just putting my moisturizer on, but I'm pressing into my body just that little bit harder and taking my time, like really just like going up my body, moving up my thighs all the way up. And when I get to my head, I do a really gentle massage on my face and I circle around the temples. I go up underneath my eye. I'm actually doing this as I'm speaking. It feels really good. I go under my eye and I go up my nose and I always stop on my temples and do like a few circles. And then just move down my face using like the tips of my fingertips, almost like, I don't know if you know what I'm going to talk about, but there's this thing that you can buy for your head. It's like you've got these prongs and it goes down your scalp and up. It's like these metal things. You get them from like the massage place. If you know what I'm talking about, you'll know how good they are. Anyway, I put my hands like that and I almost like move it around my face in like a circular motion. Anyway, moving past the face massage. If you can, get some lavender essential oil. Put this on your wrist and your temples. The smell is really calming. And if you do it every night, it's almost like a little cue for the body to like wind down and get ready for sleep. So I put my lavender oil on, I do my face massage, the calming shower. And then after all of this, try to keep the lights super dim and stay off your phone for the rest of the night. Now I hop in bed and it's a really good idea to read a book, because I don't know about you, but I nearly fall asleep anytime I try to read. And this is why I love doing it at night. I like to immerse myself like in a fictional book. It requires little thinking. You can just allow the imagination to just take you away. And that's honestly enough for me to have a super good sleep. Like, I want to feel really calm before bed and almost in like a dreamlike state before I even fall asleep. So doing these little practices, like just the shower, the massage, and then reading a book, keeping those lights dim, setting the mood, having those little cues like the lavender oil, that all like triggers the body. It's like, okay, I know I'm about to go to sleep, rather than spending your whole time either on Netflix or on your phone or scrolling, and then you lock your phone, you're like, okay, now we need to go to sleep. Like, the brain's not ready for that. It's so overly stimulated. So do those little practices that signal the brain. It's like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. And that doesn't have to take that long. Like, it's maybe like an hour all up, not even. It could be half an hour if you wanted to. I like to take my time a little bit more, but think about it. Even 60 minutes, even 30 minutes, that's not a lot of time. Put your phone away, dim all the lights before you even start your shower, because the light is really activating to the brain. So try those steps. Hopefully that really helps you to have a great sleep. Let me know if it does. All right. Next question is how to heal your relationship with food when you're an athlete. What a fantastic topic to cover. I was actually going to do an entire podcast on this, but I chucked it in here just for now, and I might think about doing it a little bit later, just because I talk about, you know, my experiences as an athlete so often that I thought I'd chuck it in here. And then if you want me to elaborate on this, if this really resonates with you, I will commit an entire podcast to it. Now, there are a few key areas I want to focus on with this section. First, you need to understand that as an athlete, your body needs to be working at its optimal level if you want optimal success, right? The biggest mistake that I made as an athlete was thinking that my weight and the size that I was way more important than fueling my body with the correct food. Because your performance is everything. And to be able to perform optimally, you need the proper fuel, the proper nutrients for success. So I was setting myself up for failure right from the beginning. So my biggest tips here is do not skip meals and do not try to eat a low calorie diet if you are an athlete and you're exercising every single day. The body needs more calories than the average person. So by skipping meals or reducing your calories, you are going to be putting your body into the stress response. You will start to have poor digestion, your energy will slump, you won't feel good, and your performance is going to drop. So as hard as it is, instead of focusing on calories, really try to shift your focus over to health. Are you eating natural whole foods? Are you eating processed foods? Are you having those protein bars and the other fitness foods like I spoke about earlier? What is your diet actually like? Are you having the correct balance of macronutrients in your diet? Because ensuring that you're getting enough protein, carbs, and fats is super important. And if you don't know how to check these for yourself, or if you don't know how much your body actually needs for the amount of exercise you're doing, your age, what sport it is, all of that, go and get it checked. Go to a nutritionist and be like, hey, I'm an athlete. This is how much I'm doing. This is what my goals are. And they can help you to balance that out. As an athlete, your body is put under way more pressure. Your muscles need to recover quicker. And without a good balance of these, your body is going to really struggle. Now, I think it's also important to understand that if you do struggle with food issues, just say you're a binge eater, something is going wrong. If you're not eating enough in the day and you're binging at nighttime, you need to eat more food. Your body is exercising every day. You're using more calories. And I think that's a hard thing to understand when you're an athlete, especially if you're not educated as much on in this field. It's like, it's almost scary, and it can be hard to trust that you're not going to put on heaps and heaps of weight. But if you're binging anyway, why don't you try to increase the food in the day or look at your balance of macronutrients to actually decrease that binging so you're not having that extra food? Yeah, so when it comes to healing your relationship with food, the most important key is to acknowledge and understand that we physically cannot survive without food. So food is not the enemy in these scenarios. It is actually our savior. And we need to stop demonizing food because we need it. Yeah. And I understand the pressures that come with body image and being a certain size. I think one of the biggest fears, as I said before, is that if you eat normally, it's trusting that you won't start gaining that weight continuously. Especially as an athlete, the last thing you want is to be gaining weight because there's so much pressure on you to be a certain size. But I can assure you that if you trust your body and eat for health, this will not be the case. If you want to be the best athlete you can be, then nutrition is absolutely key. So the last thing I want to touch on with this question would be around the topic of like pleasurable foods. And I'm going to use the word naughty foods in this, not because I like to use that word, but because when I use that word, you know the type of foods I'm talking about. So when you're competing and you do have a lot of pressure on your performance, we can sometimes fear that eating certain, like, as I said before, quote unquote, naughty foods is going to be quite damaging to your success. And maybe you're eating really healthy and you're eating a lot of nutrients, but you're fully restricting those pleasurable, more naughtier foods. And this is a hard thing to navigate through, but the best tip I can give you with this is, I'm not going to say to go out and just eat those foods and just get over it and deal with it. Like, I don't believe restriction is good at all. I believe that we should have no food rules. But I also believe being an athlete requires you to make some sacrifices to eat as nutriently dense as we can. And the way to navigate through this is to try and find a healthy alternative to the foods that you're craving. So I'm going to use me for example. I love chips. If you're not from Australia, chips are like, I guess, crisps. I don't know what, I think they call them crisps in like America. But I would never want to eat them, obviously, because I feared that if I started to eat chips, I was going to gain weight and this was going to damage my performance and it's not healthy and blah, blah, blah. So what I started to do was I was like, okay, how can I get in this satisfaction, this craving, without having to, what I felt like was ruin my perfect diet? So I found that there are organic chips out there. And I didn't eat them every day, but when I do crave them, even now, I know that there is a healthier alternative with better ingredients. So when it comes to those pleasurable, more naughtier foods, there is usually an alternative option that you can go and choose to ensure that you're getting in good nutrients in the body, but you're not feeling deprived. So Google, I want to eat chocolate cake. Give me a healthier version of chocolate cake. You'll be able to find it, I promise you. So yeah, it's so important as an athlete to fuel your body. If you want to perform at your optimal level, you cannot be restricting. You cannot be cutting calories and binging every night. If you're doing that, then there's something else going wrong. Feel free to reach out to me, of course, if you have any questions. But healing our relationship with food is about making healthier choices for the body to support the athlete that you want to be. All right, moving on. What rituals do I recommend or do I do to cultivate body love? I love this one. I am so for self-love strategies. So I'll just run through my top ones that I really like. The first one is gratitude journaling. I have a journal and I gratitude in it. I'm using it like a verb. I do gratitude journaling every morning where I just think about as many things I'm grateful for. There might just be one thing that day, there might be 10. I don't really love to set a limit. Sometimes I do 3, whatever. I just sit down and think, what am I really grateful for about my body today? And I just write it down. From there, I love doing self-affirmations and honestly, pulling myself up on my bullshit. Like, negative talk is not something that I give energy to and it's not something that I allow in my mind. And this is a practice that I've worked on achieving for a very, very long time. I love doing self-affirmations in the morning and just saying things that you really love about your body. Like, I love my legs. I love the way that my body moves. I love that how I look. Like, whatever. I'm just rambling off some really easy to understand affirmations right now, but you can get as deep, as complex as you want. And just giving yourself these little cues every morning to love yourself. Now, when I said pulling yourself up on your bullshit, what I meant by that is like, just say I'm wearing a pair of jeans and I catch myself in the mirror and maybe that day I'm not loving what I'm seeing and I hear a negative thought come up. Straight away, I'm like, no, I'm not even giving you that energy because how is having a negative thought about how I look in the mirror going to make me feel good that day? it's not going to make me feel good that day, so I'm going to pass it by. See you later. Get out of my mind. I'm not giving you my focus or my energy. I understand the damage that negative thoughts can have. And I also understand that I love my body. My body has gone through a lot and I'm not going to put it through anymore, right? So if I have negative thoughts in my head, what's it going to do? It's going to start bringing in and manifesting some old habits that I do not want to be a part of. So I pull myself up on that bullshit and I'm like, get out of my head. I'm not giving you my energy. And I think that's a really, really powerful tool to be able to do. The next ritual that I recommend for cultivating body love is self-care, like doing things that genuinely make you feel good. And they can be really simple things like giving yourself the face massage, having a relaxing bath, like doing breathing exercises, stretching, anything that calms the mind and puts me in the relaxation response, but also anything that genuinely makes me feel good about myself. And that can be absolutely anything, and it can be so different from one person to the next. And mine are really simple things. When I do my self-care strategies, like the face massage, like the breathing exercises, like having a stretch, I genuinely feel better in my body. It's almost like I've showed up for my body that day and I feel proud and I feel really embodied within my body. So that's really important for me. And the last area with cultivating body love is exercising in a way that has a focus on your ability. And what I mean by that is doing things where you go, holy shit, like I'm strong, or like I'm actually pretty talented in this, or whatever it is. It's just so much more powerful than going to the gym and staring at yourself in the mirror, lifting a dumbbell and being like, cool, bro. Like I go rock climbing. Well, not right now, obviously, but I've been rock climbing. I do flying trapeze. I do trampolining, like all of those things that really makes you appreciate your body for what it can do. Taking that focus away from, you know, almost categorizing how you look with your worth, almost like pinning them together. It's about separating that pin and being like, my worth has no connection with how I look. My worth is based on how I feel within my body. And when I do exercises that do have a focus on my ability, that's how I feel. So it's different for everyone. And if you didn't grow up as a sporty person, that can be hard to do, but it's even if you don't like exercising, focus on things that show you how good your body is. It could be painting. Maybe you're really an artistic person. Like, that's so cool. So do things that focus on you as a person and not how you look. All right, last question that we're going to get through is how to deal with setbacks. So any tips for getting back on track? All right, I want to preface this by saying that setbacks are 100% expected. It's just the way of life. We are always going to have good days and bad days, no matter what. Now, I deal with this a lot with my one-on-one clients. They will have some fantastic weeks and be so positive and so happy. And then some weeks they fall back into their old patterns and they almost feel like they're back at square one. And when you've been doing, so just say you've been struggling with an eating challenge for years, right? And then you do strategies that make you feel on top of the world. And then when you go back to old patterns, it almost feels like you're even 100 times worse than when you started. And it's not the case. It's just because you haven't felt that good in your body for so long that when you do drop back down, you're like, wow, this feels awful. So I just want you to know that this is life. Like, we cannot be perfect 100% of the time. And it all comes down to how you respond after this setback. How do you bounce back? How will you show up for yourself the next day? Setbacks are like a reminder to keep working on yourself. I found a real big pattern with my past clients where they'll be implementing all of the strategies that I gave them and they come back to me and they're like, I feel amazing, the best I felt in a while. And you know when you feel really good that you almost think that you don't need to keep doing those certain strategies because you feel good, I'm feeling great, I don't need them, you know, things are looking up for me. It's in that moment that you almost not slack off. I don't want to use that word, but like, it's in that moment that you stop doing those strategies when things start to take a turn and you stop doing them and then those old habits creep in and then it's like, bam, oh, I feel like crap again. Like I'm back to square one and all of this, but Setbacks are there to tell you to keep going, to keep doing the work, to stay focused, and to keep pushing to be the person you want to be. If you are trying to change the direction of your life, you need to understand that habits and old patterns are really hard to push through, and they don't take a week, 2 weeks, a month. They'll probably take a bit of time. Think about how long you have had these old patterns for, these old habits for. Just say you've had them for 10 years. You can't expect to overcome them in a week. It takes some time. And as I said, setbacks are there to be that reminder. They're there to remind us that we are human. The ups and downs of life can suck, that's for sure. But without those lows, we will never appreciate the highs. So when dealing with setbacks, it's really important to just wake up the next day, to shrug off whatever happened and to refocus. Like, set some new goals every morning, but make them achievable and do these daily goals that you can tick off throughout the day that give you that sense of, like, you know, completion and satisfaction. I love being able to tick off my daily goals. It's like, ugh, it's the most satisfying thing ever. So always start your day with the intention of it being the best day you could have. Like, regardless of whether your day ends up shit, you started it with a great intention. Like, you showed up and you made a commitment to yourself to try the best. And this is a really, really good trait to instill in your mind. I think so often we can wake up and almost give up straight away because we're like, oh, yesterday was crap. I just feel like I'm in a funk. I don't know what to do. But if you set the intention every single morning, you're like, you know what? I don't care what happened yesterday. Today is going to be a good day. Today is going to be great. I'm going to start my day with a healthy breakfast. I'm going to do some gratitude journaling, whatever. Then whatever happens throughout that day, you know every day is a new day and next day you can wake up and do the best that you can do. Yeah. I think it's also so important to forgive yourself. I think that we can really bash ourselves up and be quite cruel to ourselves, but this doesn't help to achieve anything. And the beautiful thing is that every single day is a new opportunity to do better, to do something different. Literally, every day is a fresh slate and you get to write your future. So who cares if you have a setback? What decision are you going to make next? What are you going to do the next day when your slate is cleared and it's fresh and you wake up and it's ready to go? It's like, what are we doing today? How are we going to make this day better than what happened yesterday? How are we going to push forward? What commitment are you making? And I think that's such a beautiful way to look at each day. It's like, okay, it's my chance almost to start again. So yeah, you're going to have setbacks, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay in that slump. Pick yourself back up and do the things that are going to make you feel good. So I hope that you enjoyed this little Q&A episode. If you want me to do another one, just send through your questions and I will absolutely be sure to get to them. I can do another Q&A episode. But this was really fun. I kind of enjoyed not having to plan my podcast. Not that I have to plan them, but I have to think about the topics and all of that and make sure that it's going to be beneficial for you guys. But yeah, these are the ones that you sent through and I really enjoyed doing them. So hopefully you all have a really, really good day. I'm going to leave some links down below. I'll leave a link down below for my previous episode of the old weight loss that I was talking about, as well as my YouTube channel. But of course, if you have any questions, please reach out to BearXBrave on Instagram or my email, hello@bearxbrave.com. Hope you all have a really good day. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. I would be so grateful if you could share this podcast and leave it a review. And be sure to follow me on my Instagram at BearXBrave. If you need to contact me, you can do so at hello@bearxbrave.com. Speak to you in the next podcast.